What is crimmigration?
Crimmigration really refers to the merging of criminal law and immigration law that we've seen in the United States since about the mid-1980s, but that is probably most clearly emblematized in two ways. One, by the rhetoric around which we discuss immigration. We talk about immigration in the context of criminality, of dangerousness, of posing some kind of existential threat to the United States. And in response, the most palpable articulation of crimmigration law enforcement techniques is the use of confinement as a means of regulating immigration law. Historically, we did not throw people behind barbed wires simply because we thought they were in the United States in violation of immigration law. Since the 1980s, we have shifted gears such that in recent years, upwards of 400,000 people have seen the inside of a prison at some point during the year for nothing more than the federal government thinking that they might have violated the immigration law.
What accounted for that change in U.S. policy?
In large part, this happened in tandem with the United States' willingness to use confinement to address a whole host of social ills, everything from the use of illicit drugs that became the war on drugs as we know it, and the regime of incarceration that has gone along with that, to simply the perceived link between immigration activity and drug activity. In the early 1980s and the mid-1980s, we heard from prominent members of Congress and from the Reagan administration that immigrants were part and parcel with the with what they claimed was a growing illicit drug activity affecting cities throughout the United States. That link between criminality and immigration has shifted somewhat. We eventually turned it to a link between terrorism and immigration. At times, we've seen linkages between just gang activity generally, whether related to drugs or terrorism or not, but gang activity and immigration. And we saw this in the President Obama, who famously said that his administration's enforcement priorities were to target, in his words, felons, not families. And he went on to explain that he was focused on gang members. And President Trump has in recent weeks articulated a very similar concern about the link between immigration and criminal activity.
When you talk about terrorism specifically, that's generally considered a federal offense and under the purview of federal law. But when we get into what's criminal by state law, we're seeing some variations that are posing some challenges for that intersection of immigration and criminal law, right?
That's right. One of the tough things about building an immigration law enforcement regime on the back of criminal law is that we have 52 criminal law systems in the United States, criminal justice systems in the United States. And that means that there are differences in what the state of Michigan deems a crime versus the state of California or the state of Colorado. And even in some instances, when the legislatures of various states seem to be targeting the same activity, they'll define what constitutes a crime somewhat differently. And so the difficulty that immigration attorneys and immigration judges and prosecutors who work for the Department of Homeland Security and immigration in immigration courtrooms, the difficulty that they have is figuring out when a particular state criminal conviction results in deportation, because deportation is ultimately the purview of Congress and Congress alone.
What efforts have been made to make things more consistent?
Well, the immigration courts are working every day. Immigration judges are working every day to try to identify definitions or identify what what Congress has deemed to be to merit deportation, and to identify clear and concrete definitions of the crimes that Congress thinks merit deportation, and then apply those to the variety of criminal offenses that are being prosecuted and resulting in convictions in state courts throughout the United States every single day. But that is a very difficult task, made difficult by the fact that the criminal codes of every state are somewhat different, made more difficult by the fact that immigrants are frequently not represented by attorneys, and so sometimes the law doesn't develop as quickly or as reliably as it ought to. But at the end of the day, where the difficulty in meshing state criminal laws with federal immigration law is that we don't have a single system of criminal justice in the United States. We have a large variety of nuances that are embedded into our criminal justice systems, and there are good reasons for that being the case. But at the end of the day, we only have one immigration law enforcement, one immigration law system that applies throughout the United States, and so the immigration judges and attorneys are tasked with trying to figure out how to make sure that people in Michigan are being treated, are being subjected to immigration consequences on the same basis as people in Texas or people in Colorado or in any other part of the state, so that there's not a disparate application of immigration law.
What significance does Juan Esquivel-Quintana's case have in going before the Supreme Court on Monday?
I think the Esquivel-Quintana case illustrates the difficulty that immigration courts have with figuring out how to apply immigration law uniformly across the United States. It highlights the fact that people living in Michigan can be treated differently from people living in California, and that conflicts directly with the notion that immigration law ought to apply uniformly no matter where one sits in the United States. But the additional component that I think is highly important in the Esquivel-Quintana case is the idea that people who have been in the United States for a quite significant period of time and who have been here with the federal government's permission might end up facing the possibility of deportation for engaging in activity that is a crime, but that is not particularly unusual, and so we see in Mr. Esquivel-Quintana's case that consensual sexual relationships, which are certainly not unheard of, even by teenagers, even involving teenagers, result in, or potentially might result in his forcible removal from the country that he has called home for just about his entire life. Whereas, had he been a United States citizen, he would have put this behind him years ago, and would have been able to turn to more important things.
Do you have a prediction of what the court will do with this case?
No, I think I don't. I think this is a tough issue of statute of where the court will have to interpret the statute, and we've seen in the past that strange bedfellows sometimes arise in these kinds of cases, where justices that are on both ends of the ideological spectrum that's represented on the Supreme Court sometimes find themselves aligning with one another because they're trying to give meaning to the words that Congress adopted into immigration law.
For people in our audience who might want to weigh in on this issue, how can they do that?
I think that the way that folks can weigh into what immigration law currently treats as a deportable offense is by talking to the members of Congress about how expansive or how narrow immigration law ought to be, and pushing their members of Congress to enforce, to prioritize enforcement of immigration law in the way that your audience thinks is just. The bottom line is that the Department of Homeland Security does not have enough money to investigate, apprehend, and attempt to deport everyone who might be removable from the United States. And there, so there might be people who the federal government chooses to turn a blind eye to, essentially, and say, look, we know that you're potentially removable from the United States, but there's some other reasons why we might choose to use our limited resources to target other people. And if your audience members think that, that's the case with Mr. Esquivel-Quintana or with other folks who they hear about in their personal lives or through reporting by journalists, then their role is to pressure their members of Congress to intern and the administration to tailor immigration law and immigration law enforcement in a way that fits with their vision of a just immigration law regime.